Thank you for joining us for First United Methodist Church of North Hollywood's weekly podcast, presented by Dr. Joey McDonald.
This morning I will be reading from the New International Version, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 to 17. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer, and a persecutor, and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who will believe in him and receive eternal life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. May the word bless these words.
Pray with me if you will. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come with the fire and burn. Come with the rain and cleanse. Come with the wind and breathe. Come with the light and reveal. Convict us, convert us, consecrate us. Claim and call us with your care and concern, O God, until we do something. Amen. Okay, finally. As the opening Thanksgiving and the concluding doxology of this passage indicate, this text is focusing intensely on God's saving grace. The language throughout the verses reflects a personal, simple statement expressing the piety of the author, who we presume is Paul. However, the larger statement is the power found in the grace of God and how this affects the personal faith of all believers. New Testament thanksgivings usually are offered to God. Here, 1 Timothy, the thanksgiving is offered directly to Jesus Christ for the transformative work in Paul and in life itself. Grace alters our lives from faithlessness to faithfulness, from resistance to God to doing the work of God willingly. God reforms a broken life into an active life of service brought about by the grace known in Christ Jesus. Each week, as part of worship, we sing after the call to worship a short tune known as the Gloria Patri. Then after the offering, we sing the doxology. Each in some way has become a sort of ritual, a repetition. I can't tell you a time I didn't sing it in a Methodist church. The Methodist church of my upbringing used these every week. And so, yeah, I know the words by heart, but if you ask me to recite them here and now, I'm not sure I could. But every once in a while in that repetition and ritual, they become more real in time and space. The late theologian and teacher of preaching, Dr. Fred Craddock, talked about it this way. He told a story about how important it is to remember to take doxology with you. For him, taking doxology with you meant the intentional act of moving through life with the song of faith in your heart at all times. He illustrated how he felt he missed something when he went on a hospital visit and left doxology in the car. You ever have that experience? I know I have. Leaving doxology in the car. The text, in some manner, asks us to consider what songs we sing and why. Perhaps even why not. I was driving a while back and listening to a station called Bluegrass Junction. The announcer was introducing a late member of the Grand Ole Opry, Little Jimmy Dickinson. And I, for whatever reason, probably trying to pay attention to traffic, checked out for a minute as he was doing the introduction. And then I heard the song, "May the Blue Bird of Happiness Fly Up Your Nose." And in essence, that's the totality of the song. And I thought, I had heard that before. But whatever it was, it took me away. And the question you ask, if that can't put a smile on your face, what will? Though the lyric is more than 60 years old, it still works. It can lift us from a place of doldrum to a place of joy. Music speaks to us. It nourishes us. It nurtures us. There are certain artists who seemingly have a knack for turning a phrase which makes us smile and think. For me, the late Roger Miller is one that comes to mind. I'm sure you have your own. A lyric from one of his songs goes like this. You can't roller skate in a buffalo herd. You can't roller skate in a buffalo herd. You can't roller skate in a buffalo herd. But you can be happy if you've a mind to it. And in his wonderful way, he forces us to move out of whatever it is that's bothering us, to think, and maybe even sing a little bit with him. Now, understand, that's not systematic theology. It's not a doxology. It's not the Gloria Patri. However, it's a wonderful bit of light-hearted spirituality. Lest you think music doesn't have meaning, allow me to illustrate by saying I've had requests for memorial services for Take Me Out to the Ball Game to be sung and for Roger Miller's King of the Road. That's just a couple. I've had some really unique requests. And why would you use those in memorials? Because they have meaning for the family or for those who have gone. Music moves us, it touches us, it speaks to us. There's a love song that the late Dan Fogelberg, I'll get that out, wrote probably now almost 30 years ago, because he's gone about a decade, where the line says it all. It's about love and relationship. And I'm quoting, "It's never easy and it's never clear who's to navigate and who's to steer." That's a powerful way of talking about relationship. Music moves us. The Beatles wrote "All You Need Is Love" 49 years ago. I don't know how that happened. I'm going to read just a couple of lines and then give you what you know is already the tagline. "There's nothing you can do that can't be done. There's nothing you can say that can't be sung. nothing you can say, but you can learn how to play the game. Verse 2, nothing you can make that can't be made, no one you can save that can't be saved, nothing you can do, but you can learn. You're in time. And finally, nothing you can know that isn't known, nothing you can see that isn't shown, nowhere you can be that isn't where you're meant to be. It's easy. I bet you can even hear the tune. You could sing it if I had a voice to drag you through it. All you need is love. That's all you need. That's all you need. We're 15 years into a sad memory of the falling of the Twin Towers, but there is joy still to be had because we still know how to love. We still know what love can do. Those lyrics from the Beatles still speak volumes. My first 8 years here in this parish, we had a wonderful inventive associate, Dot Graham. Reverend Graham was just fun. And she would find different ways to nudge and challenge us. Somewhere around, must have been 92 or 93, she talked about random acts of kindness and senseless acts of beauty. Only she didn't say they were random, and she didn't say they were senseless. She said they were intentional and powerful and challenged us to move in that. Well, the sermon I preached that day was titled Accentuate the Positive. I can't tell you what date because I don't like to look back. One of these days I'll get brave enough to throw out every sermon I've ever written because none of them are suitable for repetition. But I talked about accentuating the positive. Now, I hope you can suspend your disbelief here for me to share this. In 1997, L.A. Confidential, the movie, came out, and it's a wonderful film noir. It was award-winning and a great film. I don't want to talk about the film. I want to talk about the closing. As the credits were rolling, a song was sung. Accentuate the positive. Eliminate the negative. And don't mess with Mr. In-Between. I want to take you back to that sermon 5 years earlier where I talked about accentuating the positive. At that time, the longest tenured member of this choir was Betty Kennessy, a wonderful alto, just a sweet and wonderful soul. After the sermon, she came out. She had been a big band singer. I can't tell you which ones, but she had the voice and the style. She came out snapping her fingers, singing that song. And it was glorious. It was touching, not just because she was paying attention, but because she got what it meant and did it with style. So when the credits were rolling and the song was being sung, I can't tell you who was credited in the movie because I didn't hear that singer. I heard Betty in my head and in my heart. Accentuate the positive. Eliminate the negative. Don't mess with Mr. In-Between. Part of the question this text is asking you and me, what's in your heart of faith calling you to sing? Is it a dirge? And we have them. Look at some of those psalms. Those psalms aren't fit for print, some of those terrible ones. You know the ones. What's in your heart of faith calling you to sing? Is it a word of delight? When I mentioned the Beatles, did your favorite Beatles song come up? All you need is love. I I enjoy. It's not my favorite Beatles tune, but I like it a lot. And Roger Miller isn't my favorite composer, singer, songwriter, but when I hear something he wrote, I smile. So, what's in you waiting to be sung? You know what that is. You know where it is. Make it happen. Make it happen today, and then tomorrow, and tomorrow. Find that song that lifts your spirit and lights the world. Amen.
For more information, find us at nohofumc.com, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr at nohofumc.